If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 17. One of the means Chinese government officials use to deter crime is public shaming. Public shaming. Last year, courts in several of the Chinese provinces ordered the faces and personal information of debtors displayed on billboards in public areas, which means public shaming is an increasingly common punishment in China for those who don't pay their bills. Not a good thing if you don't pay your bills, amen? Well, the Jews who cried for Christ's crucifixion certainly wanted Jesus publicly shamed. And thankfully, he shamefully bore our debt of sin. Aren't we glad for that? And he did it to the fullest degree. Remember, those who died on a cross were cursed. Cursed is anyone who dies on a tree. Let's see at least one point this evening where their plan was defeated. And God used a pagan ruler to oppose them and bring honor. They tried to shame him, but God, even in the midst of Calvary, brought honor to his precious son. John chapter 19. Let me read verses 19 and 20 to begin. John chapter 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. It was near. And it was written in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. As you probably know, it was customary for the one being led away to his crucifixion to be preceded by a person carried a placard, upon which would be written the crime for which the condemned man was to be executed. But since our Lord was guilty of no crime, remember what Pilate said concerning Christ, I find no what? Fault in him. Pilate therefore decided to take a parting shot at the Jewish leaders, for whom he had no fondness. He felt that they had blackmailed him into ordering Jesus' death. Notice verse 12 of John chapter 19. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And so the inscription that Pilate wrote was, verse 19, we just read it, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. If you looked up Matthew's account of Christ's crucifixion, you would find these words, and set over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. If you looked at Luke's gospel, you'd find that he wrote this is the King of the Jews. So if you put all these together, you really come up with what John wrote, which was the most comprehensive, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now the Roman policy was to crucify prisoners in public places. We're talking along highways, roads. Why? So that the general public would see the price to be paid for breaking Roman laws. I say it was quite the deterrent. If you saw someone being crucified and you saw above that person's head his crime, and then you put two and two together, he committed this crime and thus he's being crucified, you would think twice about doing what? Committing that crime. And so again, it was very effective in keeping the lawless lawful. Now, to be sure everyone could read the inscription, Pilate had it written in three languages. What are those three languages again? Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Why Hebrew, Latin, and Greek? Well, they were the commonly spoken languages in first century Palestine. Now, as Pilate correctly anticipated, verse 21 tells us, upon seeing the sign, the chief priests and the Jews said to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" I am the one who came up with that. Now, this inscription was an offense to the Jews for at least three reasons. And the first is, even though the Jews hated having Caesar as their king, they were not loyal to him as they pretended to be. Notice verse 15, but they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." They pretended loyalty to Caesar, but that was really a ploy. They clearly rejected Jesus, having Jesus called their king. Remember, they said, "We'll not have this man rule over us. We'll not have this man rule over us," referring, of course, to Christ. And then secondly, the second reason why this inscription was an offense to the Jews, Pilate identified Jesus, their king, as coming from what city? Nazareth. And that made the insult even worse. To these Judean Jews, Nazareth was an insignificant Galilean village filled with unsophisticated, backward, rustic people. If you recall in John chapter 1, when Philip reported to Nathanael that we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, what was Nathanael's response? Can any good thing come out of what? Nazareth. The thinking that this one, a Nazarene, who was dying a criminal's death on the cross, was their king, was crazy, was nonsensical, was laughable, was incongruous. It did not make any sense. And worse, it was a direct affront to both the Jewish leaders and the nation as a whole. Our king is from Nazareth? No way. No way. And then number three, Pilate used this inscription to express his contempt for the Jewish people. In essence, he was saying this individual was the only king they deserved. If you look back at verse 13, what Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover at about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." And of course, we just read what their response was in verse 15. In essence, again, he was saying this individual was the only king they deserved. Well, again, as we read, the chief priest demanded that Pilate change his wording. They wanted Jesus to appear to be an imposter, but Pilate held his ground by curtly responding, verse 22, "What I have written, I have written." Now let's think this aspect of Christ's crucifixion through. Neither Pilate nor the Jewish leaders really believed Jesus to be Israel's king. And yet the hatred, the animosity that existed between them ensured that Pilate the governor would in fact fulfill God's sovereign plan and purpose, meaning that Jesus would be declared who he truly is, Israel's king. And truly, he is that and more. Jesus is the king, not only of Israel, but he is the king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He's not just any king. He's the king of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. And as Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And then he referenced those who bow. Every knee will bow, things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And might each of us here this evening truly say, even now, Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my King. You are my friend. I bow in worship before you. I bow, as we sang this morning, I bow my knee to you. Let me just say, I'm just speaking from personal experience. It's amazing what happens in my life, in my relationship to Jesus Christ, when I'm willing to bow my knee to him. Do you know he comes alive? When I'm willing to submit my will to his will, when I'm willing to say, Lord, you're in charge. Your hands are on the steering wheel of my life. He really comes alive in my life, and I begin to live. I begin to live. Honestly, Pilate got it right when he wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Might we gladly share the good news that Jesus is the King of the Jews and of all who accept him as our as Savior. God wants not only that message to find lodging in our hearts, but he wants that message of hope that Jesus is King, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is Savior, to be made known to those around us. I think a fair question is Jesus your King? Can you honestly say, yes, Jesus is King of my life?